Did you hear
Yes, I heard
that? Okay, hello and welcome to my very first episode of my podcast, Life After Loss. Thank you all so much for joining me. Honestly, I want this monthly meetup to be a safe space for all of us to just discuss everything, to laugh, to cry, and everything else in between. And today I have a very, very special guest with me, Wendy. She is my best friend, and she's just going to talk with me about navigating with grief, and how you move, after life when you've been through such events. So, hi, Wendy.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the inaugural episode of Life After Loss. So, yeah.
It's my pleasure. Firstly, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing us to have such an important conversation that you know holds very dear to my heart. I want to say thank you so much for being open to being vulnerable. That's the main thing. So I just want to firstly ask you by asking, how are you? How's your day been? How are you feeling? Are you nervous?
A little bit nervous. Let's start there. But honestly, no, appreciative that you've allowed me to kind of take this kind of journey down memory lane with you. It's been a tough couple of years, and I'm sure we'll delve into all of that in this episode. But in terms of my day's been good. You know how it is. We're all running the same rat race, just work, and then looking forward to this though. So yeah, I guess we're gonna get into it, but maybe it makes more sense for you to tell a bit of your story, and then we'll take it from there.
I think I will do that. Firstly, I do just want to start off by just letting everybody know that's listening that there is a lot of trigger warning out there. And if you feel as though you're not in the correct space to have to listen to such sensitive topics, then I would suggest that when you are ready to come back. Also, if you do need support, please do listen to this podcast with someone that is able to offer you such support, because we are talking about grief and loss, and it can be very triggering to some of our viewers. I do also want to let everybody know that I am very nervous. This is something that I hold so dear to my heart, and I don't really like talking about it other than people that I know personally, but it is something that I feel very ready to do. So yeah, I just want to start off by saying that I have suffered a loss. Unfortunately, I did lose my younger brother in 2018. He did pass away from asthma. Well, at the time, we believed that he had an asthma attack, but when we delved more into the situation, there was a failure there from the healthcare system, but that it's for a whole nother episode. But I really just want to focus on how I dealt with grief when I first lost my brother. And I can honestly say that was and is, let me not say was, because it is something that I still am processing and going through it, even though right now I am able to manage it a little bit better. It is something that never leaves you. And I think with grief, we always think that. You hear people say, oh, you know, with time it gets better. It never gets better. You just learn to deal with it. But for now, I just want to focus on how I dealt with it when I first found out. I would say I dealt with grief in a very unhealthy way, because I think at the time I was 20, correct me, was that like
Yeah, I think
20?
we were 20 years old, just turned.
Yeah,
Yeah,
just.
just turned, because we went to university at 19 and then we're turning 20 that year. Yeah, so
So
we just turned 20.
I was 20 at the time. And the first time I remember dealing with grief, I was around 15, 14, 15 when I lost my auntie.
Auntie
However,
grief.
she wasn't in close proximity from me. She lived in Ghana. So, you know, that was a very difficult thing to process. But I think at the age of 20, dealing with the loss of someone so close to you, especially at the age that he was my younger brother. He was 9 when he passed away. In such a way, I had a lot of questions surrounding why, and because I wasn't getting the answers to my question, I tried to find it in ways that wasn't healthy. I would say that I shut off from myself and I shut off from the world. And I also let a lot of, let me say, toxic people in my life during that time that I was in such a vulnerable place. And honestly, I was just searching for something to make me feel better, something to make me feel more human, something to just take away the pain, which realistically is never going to be taken away. So yeah, during that time I was young, I didn't really understand what it was to grieve someone so close to you, especially someone so young. And I vouched to myself that I would always protect my younger siblings, and I felt like I failed that when I lost my little brother. So I would say a lot of the times I was blaming myself and punishing myself. And as well, I did lose him 2 weeks after my 20th birthday, which was a very conflicting feeling because I did just spend my birthday with him and my family, and it was an amazing time. Like, the last memory I have with him in person is something that I would always hold dear to my heart because it was an amazing memory that I will never forget. However,
Definitely.
it was very difficult because not only did I lose him 2 weeks after my birthday, it felt like I had missed a big chunk of his final moments. So because I felt like that, I just needed to feel validated in as to why, like, how can I just be with him? And then now I'm hearing that he's no longer here. Like, I felt like I had been robbed of spending his final moments. And in a way, I felt like maybe he forgot about me during them final moments. And it's not something that you should really put on yourself, but I think I always think to me to myself, I think, he had that recollection of my other siblings and my mom and my dad. But the last time he remembered me was our last phone conversation, and the last time I saw him, which wasn't the day before, was what wasn't the morning or a few or 2 days before. It was like, I would say the last time I spoke to him on the phone was like 3 days before. So there was a lot of like questions, a lot of anger, and I just felt like, because the week he passed, I was meant to come to London, and I didn't make that move. And I always, till this day, blame myself because I feel like if I had just come to London, it would have been a much more. But that's the thing with grief, because I could right now, it would have been a much more healing experience. But at the same time, I would have been searching for something else
This
because,
is it. 'Cause what could you have done?
what could I have done? And when I have the conversation with my siblings, their story is completely different to mine, and it's so traumatic for them. But then they also feel like it's a lot harder for me because I didn't get to spend that time with them, and it kind of
This
feels
is
like,
it.
I've missed all this time with him. How does that feel? How does it feel real? So it's like you always compare each other's grieving stories, like what's worse and what's not worse. But until you're on that side of it, you'll never really know. So I can say right now, oh, I wish I had come down for the week. But I'm a big believer in the universe and a big believer in God. And I feel like, there's a reason why that week there were so many opportunities for me to come to London and I just
They
didn't.
didn't.
So I just have to take that on the chin. But yeah, I would say that during my grieving process, I lost a lot of people around me, and for a very long time, I blamed other people because I felt like people owed me something to be there for me, to support me through like what I was feeling. And I felt like if you wasn't doing that, it was so easy for me to just cut you off. But now, on the other side of grief, I feel like I went about things the wrong way. And I do believe that In life, we all have our own. Can I swear on this?
Express what you need to express.
We have our own shit going on in life,
It's
and I
true.
don't ever want to put that on anybody else because I was so focused on my feeling and how I felt that I forgot that there are some of my friends that have lost parents. There are some of my friends that have lost close ones, that supporting someone through grief is a lot of mental strength. And for me to put that on someone, I don't know what that could have been triggering for within themselves. But in that moment, I felt like if you wasn't there for me, that was it. I was angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at people. So if you wasn't even messaging me to check up on me, because in the moments I felt like, oh, it's all fake love. People are there for 2 seconds, and then it's really and truly the people that stay, that those are the people that you keep around. But when you think about it, I don't agree with that anymore, because I feel like we all have our own individual lives, and people might want to be there for you, but they just don't have the tools to do that for you. So I would say my grieving process was something that looked like a camel's back. I had highs and I had lows. Like a month after my brother passed away, I was already out. I was clubbing, I was drinking, I was having a good time. But then when the high left of like trying to like fill the void, it just, yeah, it wasn't giving. So
Needs were
now,
low.
yeah, now it's like, okay, let me not focus too much on the now, but then I was doing things that I felt like I could go back to normal life just like that. It just felt like, okay, it's a month now. I need to stop crying. I need to stop being sad. I hated showing that emotion because it just felt like I was banging on about the same thing over and over again. But yeah, that's just for me how I dealt with grief. And yeah, I'm gonna pass it over to you, Wendy. I'm interested to hear what you're going to say because, I want to see from your perspective how you felt like I was during that time, and if you agree with anything I was saying, and how you felt like what you needed to do to support me as much as you can, all whilst grieving yourself, because this is a boy that you knew as well. This is a boy that, you watched grow as well. So I can imagine it was equally as hard for you.
No, definitely. I think before we even delve into talking about how I saw that period of time, how it was dealing with that, my own personal grief through the situation, the situation, you know. But one thing I will say that I not disagreed with you on that you just said, but I felt I feel maybe a slightly different to you, and that's probably because of the fact that we have different perspectives, we've been through life differently. It's basically this whole your friends don't owe you anything, because I think that cool, we can all hold our hands up, and we should all at times hold ourselves accountable about the parts we play, let's say, in friendships breaking up, or in people moving apart, or people moving on. But I think that when people are your friend, when people have that love for you, there is an element of obligation there to be there for someone. Now, I'm not saying that you should now sacrifice your mental health, because what you said was very true about you don't know how your grief might trigger someone else who's been through whatever they've been through. And also, I can't speak for you about how you felt with how you dealt with it at the time. But the only thing I would say is that I personally believe that friends do owe each other something. They do owe each other that camaraderie, that level of I need to be there for you, not because it's what I have to do, but it's because I love you, you know? And I think that maybe when there is a mismatch or a lack of alignment with how one person feels like they should be there for another, i.e., if you feel like I should be there more than I was there, vice versa, then that's probably more to do with a difference in how we see our relationships than anything else. I don't know whether at that sense you agree with me or not, but that was just kind of my little thought process when you were speaking so eloquently about that time period and how it felt leaning on other people. And I think that segues quite nicely into how I saw it at the time. I think it was a massive shock. I think but I feel like the way I acted kind of echoed the way I've always acted when people around me have lost people that they love, that
Just,
at the time,
can I
oh,
just put
sorry.
a disclaimer out there? No. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to put a
No.
disclaimer out there that this is the first time me and Wendy are literally having this conversation.
I
Like,
know.
it's the first time in 6 years, by the way,
I know.
that we're having
And
this deep
considering we speak
conversation.
every day, that is a no speak.
This is wow. So I'm literally like proper, my
You're
ears
glued
are
to your seat.
glued. Like, I don't want to hear what
And
you.
do you know what? What I'm about to say, I have thought for a very long time, you know, but
Okay.
I've never really said it because yeah, I don't like talking about things like this, but
Yeah,
anyway.
I understand.
Yeah, so it's kind of like I was saying, it's echoed how I've always dealt with it when people around me have lost people they love. I've always, and I don't know if it's conscious or it is I don't know. I don't know if it's conscious or it's just how I am, but I feel like I can't show emotion because that will trigger them. And even let's go back further. Like you said, you talk about the first time you experienced grief. Even first time I experienced grief was the loss of my grandma. And I knew how much my mom absolutely loved my grandma. Like everyone knew how much my mom loved my grandma and how close they were and their relationship was. This was my adopted grandma. So the grandma who the woman who'd come to adopt my mom as my mom had grown up. So my mom had only known her in adulthood. And I remember the day we found out that she was going to pass away, I cried that day. Then after that, I never cried again because I was scared my mom would see me cry and then she would cry. And at the time I was 14, but it's so funny how it was the exact same with watching you grieve Jay, because I like all through the process, all through coming to your house, being there, and trust me, that time period is a blur. I don't think I left your house, even when you know things had happened and you slept elsewhere. Like, I never left your house, but I never ever inside of your house ever cried that I can remember of, like really cried, because I felt like if I start, then it's you're gonna be more hurt and more triggered. And so for me at that point in time, my sole thought and my sole process was not processing it as such, because you can't at that time. It's just far too raw. I don't think it's possible when you just lose someone to start to process it straight away. You have to just go through the motions. My sole thought at that time was you being okay. Not just you, Priscilla, everybody being okay, mum being okay, because I just the pain, I it was too much. Like it just, yeah, I sometimes you lose words, you know. And so yeah, like at that time for me, honestly, the only thing I could think of was being there in any way that I can and in any capacity that you needed me. And I think that people who truly love you and your friends that truly love you and they know who they are, that was their thought as well. And I don't know whether you felt that or you realized that, or how did you see people around you and how they acted, how they interacted with you? You know, did people change the way they interacted with you? Were people holding you with kid gloves, or were people stern with you? How was that period for you?
I feel like people change. I felt like people, they changed in different ways because I felt like people were very, they were very careful around me as well. I feel like people were very careful in like how things that they would say or do, or it just felt like, you know, like, oh,
No
like,
one can be free.
yeah, like, oh, she's going free, like, you know, like that's how I felt. I felt like I felt so vulnerable. Like, I literally felt so vulnerable. And when you're so good at navigating through life and being the support system, being the person to be the shoulder to cry on, being strong, it never prepares you for something like this. Like, no amount of I'm the strongest girl in the world will ever prepare you for something like this. And if I did feel a change. I felt like I started to question how should people act, because I didn't know. Like I said, I was searching for answers. I've never dealt with this before. You know, when there's people constantly at your house, you know, like you don't have a minute to yourself.
For
So
yourself.
you're literally dealing with what you're dealing with having people around you constantly, and just trying to figure things out and get answers that you're never going to get. But what I can say, what really kept me going is you, is Melissa, is Gloria. Them moments when
Yeah.
you would stay around my house and sleep around my house. There was times where I couldn't do things for myself. So having that support there was like, I didn't want you to ever leave. Like, I didn't want that.
Yeah.
And it was what I needed in that moment, I think. And that's why I did put so much pressure on other people. But I need to also understand my
Not
close,
everyone, yeah.
you know, my closeness with you, Yousefri, was nowhere near my closeness with other people. Yeah, I spoke to them. I would consider them as friends, but I put yous on such a high regard, and how you handled things during that moment, I expected that from other people. And that's why I wanted to differentiate between the two of, you can't expect people to act a certain way towards you, because how I act towards Wendy is not how I would act towards someone else, even if I class
Yeah.
them as friends. Do you get it? Even if I
Yeah, I do.
love them, the tools that I have to support Wendy will not be the tools that I would have to support someone else, because Wendy knows me in and out, and I know her in and out. So I know what her triggers are. I know what makes her upset. I know these things. But I can see why some people maybe took a step back, because they might not really know Ruth 100% to say, to know shit. Oh, sorry. she's like, you know, what if I say the wrong thing to her? You know, like,
Yeah.
what if this is just such a trick? What if she's a lot of the times I people thought I needed space. That's one thing I also heard. I heard that, oh, you know, I don't know how you're feeling, and I feel like you need space. I don't want to bombard you with messages. I don't want to, you know, that's how,
It's
because I
true,
think that's how,
striking that balance.
yeah, it's the balance. And
And you know what? I even had that. I
really?
even had that. And even with us, how close we are slash were, even then, like, because I went back to uni after, I don't even know after how long. It's all a blur now, but I went back to uni, and I remember at uni sometimes I'd call you, and obviously you can't pick up every 2 seconds, like you can't pick up, and then I'd panic up, like, no, what's going on? Is she okay? And I think, no, maybe she needs space. And like, it, even as close as you are with someone, unless you cannot legislate for such events,
You
you
can't.
absolutely cannot legislate for such events. So it was a very, and also you probably don't even know what you need, right? Like, you don't know if you want to be, you can't send a broadcast out on the days that you want to be left alone versus the days that you need someone. You can't, you know, and it is up to us as people to just use our discernment and to use our, you know, as Ruth would say, nyansa, to use our nyansa to make sure that, you know, when it's time to step back,
It's fun.
and when it's time to be there, we are. And yeah, that
No,
was.
that is very true. And I think it's so crazy, because I also had the moments where I didn't know what I wanted. And this is what grief does to you. You don't know what
It's
you
true.
want. You don't know what you're searching. You don't know what's gonna, you don't know. So it's kind of like, already as a person, I'm very hot and cold with things. Like, if I'm upset one day, some days I just don't want to talk to anyone. But then
Yeah.
some days, if I'm upset, all I want is just, I just want to be baby. So it's kind of like, I already don't know where I place my emotions. So during that time, There were some days where I just wanted to go missing. I wanted to go missing. I didn't want anything. I just didn't want to be around people. The fear as well of being close to people. That's one thing I can say about grief. When you lose someone, you're so scared to now
Yeah.
get close to other people. So like meeting other people along the way brought so much fear because it's like, oh, what if you die? I had such anxiety over everybody's life because I was thinking, why can a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, sorry, pass away, and we're here. So what makes me or you any better? Now I'm scared to lose people because I never experienced that. I never want to have to. So it takes away your life because you're constantly battling. Like you're trying to cheat death.
Yeah, that's
Knowing
true.
that at some point in life, we're all gonna go because
This is it.
we're not here forever. So you're always constantly trying to cheat death. I'm trying to avoid this, I'm trying to avoid that. I'm trying to avoid anything that's involving death, but at the same time, it's like it's not healthy thinking like that because I think grief now, so like, yeah, I kind of want to just touch on the now, how I perceive grief, and I feel like grief now has made me realize that whether we know it or not, we're here to serve our purpose, and once we serve that, I do believe that, the universe says, you know what, you've done what you've needed to do. It could be the smallest thing. Oh, we've got 10 minutes left. Okay. It could be the smallest thing out there, but grief has made me realize that we're all here for a reason. And I feel like my brother was here, even though his life was so short, he was here to teach me about me. Because if I didn't go through that, then I wouldn't really, really understand what I'm capable of handling. And with his love, with his joy, with his love for life, it's taught me to be grateful and appreciative. So his purpose for me, which we all serve a different purpose to different people, I think his purpose for me was to teach me about self-love and to teach me how to be happy with what I have, not necessarily materialistic things, but what I have with life, and to appreciate that because he loved it so much. I know that if he was here right now, he wouldn't be dealing with things how I deal with things. So it
Yeah.
humbles me. It
No,
definitely.
it definitely does. It definitely does. The amount of perspective you gain once you're able to, you'll never get through it. But once the dust has settled a little bit and everyone else's lives have moved on and yours is still impacted and you're now left alone to reckon with that, you gain so much perspective. And even me, like, it's not me, that wasn't my sibling. The love I have for him was great, but he wasn't my sibling. Even just hearing from you and talking from you learn so much. So yeah,
But I hope during that time I wasn't a big pain in the A. I hope
it's you actually were.
I wasn't, because I can understand during the moments that I wasn't the best version of myself to not saying I was a bad person, but I wasn't the best version of myself. I felt like the only thing I could do was be selfish within my feelings, and I've grown so much from not only just because of grief, but I think because of age. And when
Yeah, it's true. It's such a big
so
part.
so young, now I feel like, oh, I don't want to, put things out in the universe, but I think having dealing with grief, I think once you go through it once, you have the tools to navigate things a lot better in life.
So next time,
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
I hope, God willing, it's not anytime soon I ever have to apply these tools, but I feel like I will really allow myself to feel rather than hide, which I try to do by going out a month after, by surrounding myself with toxic people, by doing things that was harmful to myself,
And your
and
well-being.
my well-being, rather than actually taking care of myself and understanding that this is a normal feeling. I've just lost someone I love. How can I not feel anything other than what I'm feeling? So I think
Yeah.
if you are out there, and my advice to you, if you are going through grief, because I also want Wendy to advise people that want to support others during that time. So my advice would be that it doesn't get better. I'm not going to lie, but you do learn to cope with it, you know, and you are so much stronger than you think you actually are. I think as humans, we're so quick to just not give ourselves enough grace. So I
That's
would
true.
say take each day, it sounds cliche, but take each day as it comes and allow yourself to feel whatever you feel during that day. And it's not linear. Grief is not a straightforward road. You're gonna have bumps and humps and all of that, but you just got to allow yourself to just feel. If you're happy on a day, don't feel guilty for being happy just because you're grieving. Just the same way when you're sad, you allow yourself to be sad. Allow yourself.
It's true.
Just feel
It's
whatever
so true.
emotion you feel, but just take care of yourself and don't try to suppress anything. Don't suppress anything. Take care of yourself. Go on walks, you know, listen to our podcast, watch
Yeah.
TV, listen to music, cook, whatever you feel like you need to do to help you go through it. Try to connect with your loved one as well in the way they you would have normally connected with them on earth, because we're just a vessel, you know. Our spirit lives on forever. Communicate with them in however way that looks like for you. So that would be my advice to anybody navigating through grief. So Wendy, what about you? What advice would you like to give others?
Well, that was sound advice. I think for people who are supporting people that are going through grief, I think the main thing that you need to exercise is patience, understanding. You have to be incredibly selfless at that time because it really is not about you. And you also have to give yourself time to grieve as well and allow yourself to feel how you feel. Sometimes, even if you don't know the person you love is grieving and you don't know personally, the pain from the hurt from the person that you love is enough to cause you pain. I know that for sure. And so, yeah, that's just my advice. Like,
It's true.
be incredibly patient, but also allow yourself to feel how you feel. And you just patience doesn't just come with patience for the person. Patience comes with knowing that it's only this is a wound, only time can heal, and even time is not going to heal it. Time is only going to paper over the cracks, but that's better than what it was when the wound was wide open and gushing and bleeding. So you actually have to be patient just for that, just to get to a place where you can find your new normal again in your relationship with that person. And so yeah, that's all the advice I have to give about this. But I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me the chance to talk through this with you and giving the space to do so because yeah, this has been a bit eye-opening.
No, thank you for allowing me to be vulnerable in moments like this. Like I said, if you are listening to this, I hope that if it is a bit too much, you're listening to this with a trusted person just to offer you that support system that you need. And if at any point this has been triggering for you, please take good care of yourself. Go on a walk, watch a movie. Listen, talking about grief is never going to be easy, but this is why we're here, to offer the space possible. And I hope with the reflection of my life after grief, and during grief, I hope that I can open some insight to anybody that's going through it, anybody that's my age, that's young. I hope that I can have relatable content on here. And with these type of conversations, I hope that you're able to find some sort of healing. So with that, we're going to come to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with our next episode. So please stay tuned. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.